trust is something we all do when we go out to eat. We trust that whoever's beyond that kitchen door is going to respect us as they prepare our food. But trust, like respect, is something that must be earned. And before we can really trust, we somehow must verify. And so today we ask, how can we verify what goes on beyond that kitchen door?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 578th edition of the Food Chain right here on News Talk Radio. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in London who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Nikki James on the boards. Hello, Nikki.
Hello, Michael.
Producer Carol Stafford.
Hello.
And Parmley Taff.
Hello.
Folks, it is a fact. The further we get from the source of our food, the less control we have over what's in that food. Today, most of us live a long way from the source of our food. Some say we now live an average of 1,500 miles from the source of our food. This distance means we must exert a lot of trust to get food from where it is grown to where we will eat it. For example, we must trust that the meatpacking plant in Los Angeles will do an ethical job of processing the animals we will eat in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Trust is what moves food great distances, but this trust must be earned. And as a former president often said, trust but verify. Today we are going to take a look at the trust we invest in a very short link in our food chain, the link between a restaurant's kitchen door and our table. Today, we simply stated, we must trust that the people on the other side of that restaurant's kitchen door will respect us as they prepare our food. And so today we ask, how can we verify that a restaurant is worthy of our trust? Here to help us explore the question, we have Roger Houston, a retired restaurant inspector with 38 years of looking on the other side of that kitchen door. Welcome aboard, Roger.
Good morning. Thank you.
So 38 years of inspecting restaurants and looking after the public's health?
That's correct, yes.
Who exactly is in charge of ensuring the public's health when it comes to restaurants?
Well, that would be the local health department.
Local health, so that's a county level responsibility.
County level.
Is that across the United States?
Pretty much across the United States, mm-hmm. Yes.
And they enforce state laws?
They enforce state laws primarily, correct. There are some local ordinances that also apply.
So you're kind of like a sheriff, aren't you?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay, good. What is your official title here in California?
California is Registered Environmental Health Specialist.
Okay, good. In other states, it could be just about anything else?
Registered Sanitarian.
Okay, also today I brought two restaurateurs with whom I have a lot of trust. We'll start with Michael Clark of Michael's on Main in Soquel, California. Michael, we've worked together. Welcome back to the Food Chain.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure to have you aboard. Tell us a little bit about Michael's on Main. What kind of restaurant is it?
We call it Cutting Edge Comfort Cuisine. I like to say it's user-friendly, where you can come in like Cheers or something and feel very comfortable. Not for special events, but just to come in whenever you want to and enjoy yourself.
Okay. Also with us, Chip Kirshner. Chip is the proprietor of Santa Cruz Diner in Santa Cruz, California. Welcome to the Food Chain. First time, Chip.
Good morning, Michael. It's good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about the Santa Cruz Diner.
Santa Cruz Diner is a local restaurant that's family style, has a very eclectic menu, is value priced, and tries to give a good value for the dining dollar.
Good. Well, I'm charging both of you with helping me get some good information out of Roger Houston today, because you folks are on the other side of that kitchen door. Chip, you're not a chef, but your wife, Kim, is a chef, and you're always at the restaurant, so you're always superintending what's going on in there, correct?
Yeah, well, we're both there. It's a hands-on business, and I would correct you on one point, though. We have cooks. We don't have chefs. I think Michael's probably has chefs. We're in a little bit of a different segment. We're casual dining with a very aggressive price point, but yeah, you're right. It's a hands-on business. we're there every day. Mm-hmm. One of us is there every day doing a lot of, you know, what restaurant management is about. My wife happens to be focused more on the food end of the business. I tend to be focused more on the maintenance end of this business. Both of those bear on this issue.
Good. So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Michael, you're in the kitchen.
Yes, I am.
And, gosh, I've known you for almost 20 years. And I guess I was starting out in radio when you were starting out as a chef, right?
No, I've been a chef way before that.
Way before that.
Yeah. I used to teach at Cabrillo College, and I'd always look at the students. The first thing I'd tell them is get out of the restaurant business. And they'd look at me, and you know, you have to have a passion for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you agree with that, Chip?
Yes, I would.
All right. Roger, you must have looked into a million restaurants. Do they all have passion?
Yeah, well, some do and some don't.
Some don't, yeah. Let's get started. You know, when we were talking, you got your start in public health by literally looking into latrines.
Well, that's right. I started working with Santa Cruz County Environmental Health, actually on a federal grant, and we did field sanitation, mm-hmm. and that meant checking field toilets to make certain that they met the basic standards for the farm workers who were picking the crops so that they'd have proper sanitation, mm-hmm. hand washing.
And for those listening across the country, Santa Cruz County is a tiny little county in California, but it has some of the most productive farmland in the world. And so that farmland is farmed very, very intensively. And when the farm workers are out in the field, the latrines are out in the field as well, right?
Correct.
So that's a significant job then.
Very significant. Particularly, Watsonville is so well known for its strawberries. Mm-hmm. It's a very critical element in food safety.
Okay, good. So how did you get from farm worker latrines to restaurants?
Well, I just started.
There's a leap to fit.
Started training with the department, and after a year, I was eligible to take my state registration examination, mm-hmm. For a sanitarian.
And so you started looking into kitchens.
Into kitchens, right.
Tell us what you do as a restaurant inspector when you go into Michael's on Main or Santa Cruz Diner. What do you do?
Well, the first thing we do is introduce ourselves and let them know that we're there for an inspection. And then we methodically look through the facility and observe the various pieces of equipment, the flow of food in the facility, the people preparing the food.
So you watch people, too?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What are you looking for?
Food handling practices, improper food handling practices, safety issues, mm-hmm. food safety.
So, what do you look for when somebody's doing something wrong?
Well, cross-contamination, mm-hmm. raw meat and vegetables, for example, cross-contamination, time and temperature abuse, things out of temperature for prolonged periods of time,
mm-hmm.
general sanitation, cleanliness.
So, these things sound like really common sense things, right, Michael?
Well, I have to tell you, I've known Roger for 30 years, not the 38 years, so I can't go back that uh-huh. far, but he's been in many kitchens that I've worked at, and there's two sides to the story. And Roger will tell you this, some people embrace the health department and some people don't. Personally, I embrace them, and it's...
Would you explain that?
Well, the thing is what... We're working and we're in the forest, and sometimes we don't see all the trees,
right.
and it's nice to have the health department come in and say, hey, you know, this refrigerator, it's you know, questionable on the temperature. You should have it looked at. Well, we don't always look at the temperature on a refrigerator. I mean, you know, you can feel if it's not quite right, but they come in and they get it down to the right degree, and it's just being detail orientated. And so it's nice to have the health department come in, and they do introduce themselves and they say we're here, and it's nice to have somebody come in and say, hey, heads up, look at this, and I, wow, how did that happen? And we're working day in and day out, and so my side of it is it's nice to have somebody come in and say, you should look at this, and they treat you with respect as we treat them with respect. So it's not like we're working against one another. We're supposed to come in and be a team, and so they come in as a helpful part of our county and say, you know, we need to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like they're coming in to police us. They're coming in to help us.
Say, instead of being somebody that you're working against, it's somebody you're working with. Then.
Well, no, I definitely feel that there's somebody I want to work with. It's again, I mean, I can't tell you how helpful it is. I mean, we run a very clean establishment, and I'm a fanatic. I'm an A-type about it. I really watch everything, and I take care of everything. But
now, I know that both of you are. That's why I brought you in to talk with Roger Houston. So, folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're going to have a little fun today. We're going to talk about our trust in restaurants. How do we come to trust what goes on beyond that kitchen door? You're invited to participate. We have Roger Houston, who's a retired restaurant inspector. We have Chip Kirshner with a Santa Cruz Diner here in Santa Cruz, California. We have Michael Clark from Michael's on Main in Soquel, California, and you. Phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Boy, the phones are ringing already, so we will be right back. Please do stay tuned.
The average acre of farmland in or near the city limits may earn in excess of $123,000 per year. To learn how so much can be earned from so little, pick up a copy of Metro Farm, the guide to growing for big profit on a small parcel of land. Metro Farm is the PMA Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner by Michael Olson that contains over 500 pages of photos, charts, checklists, illustrations, and in-depth interviews. Metro Farm will teach you how to develop a strategy, survey markets, select crops, organize business, establish production, prepare for market, and make the sale. Metro Farm will teach you how others just like you earn a good living by growing high-value specialty crops for people who are truly appreciative. Abraham Lincoln said, "The greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living from a small parcel of land." Get in on that future today. Pick up a copy of Metro Farm at bookstores, lawn and garden supply stores, 1-800-624-BOOK, or at www.metrofarm.com.
Welcome back, folks. We all go out to eat, do we not? And when we do go out to eat, we have to trust that those people who are behind the kitchen door of that restaurant are going to respect us enough to take good care in the preparation of our food. And how do we come by that trust? I tend to go to restaurants where I know the folks, and I brought a couple of them in today, a couple of the restaurateurs I know, and I also brought in a restaurant inspector, a person who's been looking into restaurants for, 28 years, Roger Houston? That's how long? 38 years looking into restaurants. So let's talk a little bit about the restaurants you've looked into. I'd like to know what are the most difficult restaurants for restaurateurs to keep together health-wise?
Often it's the older food establishment, the older kitchen, where there has been deterioration. Some of the facilities that maybe started as a private residence and then expanded into a small restaurant and then expanded into a larger
restaurant
and what have you, where it really wasn't designed from the get-go as a restaurant.
As a commercial
kitchen. Easier ones to take care of and to maintain are the newer ones. Mm-hmm. And those that are designed from the beginning.
So when you go into an old house that's been converted into a big restaurant, your bells start, or you know, you're on the alert to,
right.
to start.
There are exceptions to that. There are some that have done very, very well mm-hmm. and been able to keep up with the current code requirements.
Okay. What about different ethnic varieties of restaurants? Are some harder to maintain than others?
Well, those that use a lot of grease and oil in cooking, yes, I probably shouldn't name any particular ethnic type, but mm-hmm. there are some where perhaps the cultural backgrounds of the people involved are such that they don't see necessarily the importance of food sanitation, and that's part of the training.
So you would be talking about perhaps a recently arrived immigrant.
Correct.
And that's one of the entry-level jobs in the world, I guess, isn't it, to open up a restaurant of your ethnic foods and then go from there.
Yes.
And sometimes they're just not thinking about the sanitary requirements of California Public, right?
That's right.
Okay. So you're not going to come out and say that for that one ethnic variety of restaurant is more difficult than the other, other than it depends a little bit about how much oils they're using.
Oils, general sanitation, how they regard cleaning and their operation.
What about the difference between a cheap restaurant and a very, very expensive one? We note with interest that fairly recently one of the more exclusive restaurants in this neck of the woods was shut down for a norovirus violation, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So it would indicate that the bugs know no distinction between the rich and the poor.
That's correct. Yeah, exactly. That facility, the structural aspects of it are very, very fine, very good operation. And once in a while, something like that happens with a foodborne illness that devastates the facility.
Mm-hmm. I have a question that I want to ask you. I don't know if I should or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. Do restaurateurs ever attempt to bribe you?
Nothing more than a cup of coffee.
Okay.
No, I've never had that happen.
Really?
No, never.
Okay, good. Well, there we go, folks. And several people asked me to ask that question, so okay. There it is. So take us out into the field and tell us about some of the more extraordinary things that you have seen with respect to restaurants.
With respect to restaurants, for example.
For example, something that you walked into and you just thought, oh my God, this can't be real.
Well, I remember early as a young inspector being an assistant to one of our inspectors who went into a very old facility in a remote area of this county and doing an inspection of the downstairs area and finding rodent droppings virtually everywhere in the downstairs storage. It was abysmal. And what we ended up doing was closing the facility.
Closing the facility?
Right on the site, yes.
Well, how do you keep rodents out of a restaurant? In thinking about this program, I Googled restaurant inspections, and one of the first things that popped up was the fact that the Anaheim Convention Center, the kitchen in the Anaheim Convention Center, has been closed down because of rats. So it's not just something in the remote corners of this wilderness that we're in. It's everywhere. How do you see?
It happens in the best of facilities, and what you want to do is exclude the rodents, and so you need to do a perimeter check of the facility, make certain that all the openings are closed off as far as vents are concerned, the bottom of doors, anywhere where they may have gotten through the structure, through the sheetrock. You have to be really diligent.
Mm-hmm. But the worst offender probably isn't insects or bugs or whatnot. The worst offender is probably people, correct?
I would say so, yeah. And although the rodents and cockroaches can pose health problems, yeah.
But how do people pose a risk?
Improper food handling practices.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in ill, going to work when they're ill.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly not handling a food properly, time and temperature wise, cross contaminating.
You know, here in the radio station, when somebody reports to work sick,
right.
It's a get the heck out of here, guy. You know,
right.
Stay away.
Right.
That's probably something that's especially critical with restaurants.
Very critical, and the manager should handle that right away.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk with our restaurateurs about managing people. That seems to be. You know, Chip, you have a big crew, and you're always there managing that crew. How do you keep your crew on their toes so that they're not spreading trouble?
Well, it's an ongoing process, Michael. First, I'd like to go back to a comment that was made earlier. We view the health department inspector as a consultant.
Oh, good.
And
all right, good.
They're the experts. You know, Russell has a book in front of him that has a lot of pages in it. We're restaurateurs. The business has a lot of moving parts. We have a lot to deal with. I don't think we can be as deep as these people that this is their profession to go around and inspect restaurants. And they will from time to time point things out to you that you may not be aware of, and you need to, you know, understand that they're there to be your consultant. So yes, we embrace them too.
So you're working with the same principle that Michael is.
Very much so.
Is this really a team effort here?
You know, this is our business. This is how we feed our family, and it's not to anybody's benefit, the customers or ours, to make anybody sick. It hurts the business.
Right.
It hurts the customers. So it's good. It is common sense in that regard, but I think your question had to do with more, how do you make sure that your people are doing the right thing, and that's an ongoing process. There's a basic level of training for people in the kitchen where you can be certified as a HASP certified, as a certified food safety manager. I think that's the title. We have, myself included, my wife and six people in our place that have gone through that, and the requirement's only to have one. So you have kind of a spread the tribal knowledge effect going in through the crew. Training for new people coming in is important. We only like to hire experienced people because generally they already know what to do and what not to do. But you have to stay on it. I mean, it's an ongoing process, and more than that, you have to be very watchful. Case in point, I think that this last episode that we referred to earlier about this restaurant that was shut down, I think a lot of the contribution to that was hand washing. One of the things we do is outside of our, you know, we have the usual notification in our employees' bathrooms about wash your hands, but we have a hand sanitizing station outside the bathrooms. We have it on camera. And if we happen to be sitting in the office and we see one of our employees come out of the bathroom and not turn immediately to that hand sanitation station, we have it on camera. We bring them in the office, we show them what we saw. And you know, so it's constant. You have to be you know, obsessive compulsive about it. It's risk management. It's training. It's all those things.
Okay, there you are. Michael Olson here. This is The Food Chain. We're talking about restaurant, managing restaurants so that you and I can trust that what goes on beyond that kitchen door is going to be good for us. We have Roger Houston, a retired restaurant inspector, 38 years in the field. We have Michael Clark. Michael's on Main in Soquel, California. And Chip Kirshner, the Santa Cruz Diner in Santa Cruz, California. And you, phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Pick up your phone and ask questions. You have restaurateurs, you have a restaurant inspector, and you do go out to eat, don't you? Right back. We're back, and we're going out to eat, and we're looking to see how we can manage to trust that what goes on beyond that kitchen door will bring us good food. You know, we have to trust our food because it comes a long way to us. We have to trust those who are growing it out there in the fields. We have to trust those who are processing it. We have to trust those who are shipping it. We have to trust those who are preparing it and those who deliver it to us at our kitchen table or in our grocery stores. And that's just a lot of trust. And as a former president once said, it's okay to trust, but verify. So how do we verify our trust? That's what we're talking about today with a very short link in the food chain between that restaurant kitchen door and our table. We have our restaurant inspector, Roger Houston, who's been looking into restaurant kitchens for many, many years. We have Chip Kirshner from the Santa Cruz Diner, whose family restaurant is 10 years old, almost this week, surviving. What I like about the Santa Cruz Diner is that Chip and his wife Kim went in and they bought a failed franchise, one of those worldwide franchises that didn't quite work, and turned it into a family-owned restaurant with a very much of a family theme about it, and it's proving to be a great success. We also have Michael Clark from Michael's on Main. I've known Michael for many, many years. He was one of the first people I worked with in radio, and I've been eating his food now for 20 years, here and there and everywhere, and he finally has his own place, Michael's on Main, in Soquel, California, a beautiful restaurant overlooking a beautiful creek. And so I have two great restaurateurs and a restaurant critic, and I have you. And by speaking of you, let's go to you right now. The phone number is today 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We have Tina on the line. Tina, welcome to the Food Chain.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to make a comment to the gentleman who said he likes to hire experienced cooks. I worked in a restaurant temporarily for about 9 months, and I was completely green. And my philosophy is if you take somebody in green, you can train them the way you want them trained, not somebody else's dirty habits. Because I was watching these people with some bad dirty habit.
Like?
Oh, like putting, you know, trays, baking trays across the tops of garbage cans. I'm sorry, to me that's disgusting. although we wore gloves.
Roger, just a sec. Roger, what happens if you go into a place and you see somebody putting a baking pan across a garbage can?
I would immediately bring it to their attention and have them take it off the garbage can, and we'd talk about it, and then that would have to be put through
Michael,
the
what would you do?
I'm in a state of shock. Garbage cans for garbage, not for holding trays.
Mm-hmm. So that's a people problem, really, isn't it, Tina?
I would think so. I have a hard time eating out now because of watching things that go on in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the things that I saw that was most disgusting. And although we were required to wear gloves, which was good, but people don't always change their gloves as frequently as I felt they should. But this is just the way my opinions were.
Mm-hmm.
And so I still think that if you hire somebody green, you can train them the way you want them and not require somebody else's dirty habits.
Well, okay, that's Chip Kirshner. That's your question. You were the one who said that you like to hire experienced people. And Tina says, well, maybe you should hire green people and then you can teach them how to do things right.
Well, I guess your perspective is, one worth considering, but we haven't found people that, when we tried to hire somebody that hasn't been in the business before, generally they don't last very long, and they seem just doesn't seem, when you have high turnover, it doesn't seem to behoove anybody. And, you know, one of the hallmarks of our business is, you know, the restaurant business is often quoted as having high turnover.
Yes.
I would say the turnover in our business is in the low single digits. And, you know, as you get people that are in a particular environment with, a menu, you train them, you get the good habits ingrained in them. You don't want them to leave. You don't want to have a revolving door. So, you can bring in people that don't have any experience in the business, but generally they don't stick, and it increases your turnover. And to me, and turnover is this insidious, subtle thing that is really the kiss of death in a restaurant.
It is in almost any business.
Yeah,
you know.
So people come in that are experienced, they're generally, motivated. They typically have chosen this to be their career. If you hire with the right attitude, they will listen to what you say, and more importantly, they'll stick around. And once you get them trained to be, the type of employee you want them to be, they're not going to leave. And then you have a training curve to go up again. So,
Tina, let me turn that question on you. If you're a customer going into a restaurant, and you go in maybe once a month or once a week or something, and every time you go in you see new employees, what would you think?
I would think there possibly could be something wrong with the management. I do want to mention, though, I seldom eat out.
Mm-hmm.
But on the rare occasions I do like the Santa Cruz Diner, because it did make the top 10 when those restaurants came out.
With the list you're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay,
and
that's.
I liked that.
Okay. Now we're talking about a very interesting phenomenon here in our county, Santa Cruz County. Roger Houston, this is explain the list that came out of these cleanliness list, right?
We have an online site. You can look online under Santa Cruz County Health Department, and there's a line in there that says new restaurant inspections. You click on that and you get the rating for the restaurant from the most current inspection. That will tell you the number of violations that were noted, the nature of the violations, and when the corrections are due.
Well, I'm all for information. I think information is really how we verify, how we gain trust in something.
Mm-hmm.
And is this something that's going on around the country? Is this a movement to put restaurant inspections online so that customers can, hey, I'm thinking about going out to eat tonight. What about this restaurant?
Yes, more and more counties are doing that. And there are several counties in California, particularly Southern California, that have a rating system. And they will put an A, B, or C card in the window indicating the results of the last inspection.
Ooh, so that's pretty intense stuff then. Well, Tina, any further questions?
No, I just wanted to make that comment that sometimes if you hire somebody green that you're able to train them the way you like them. My biggest issue in the kitchen, though, was the language barrier.
Ah.
There's a major language barrier in kitchens these days, I've noticed.
Okay.
I was the sole English-speaking, native English speaker, I guess is the way if I could phrase it politically correctly. And it made it very difficult.
For you to survive in the kitchen?
Yeah, yes. Yes.
Okay, that's a wonderful question. We'll pick that up with our chefs. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you so much, and have a good day.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Michael, what about you? Do you hire green people? Do you like to hire green people?
I'm going to answer that in a couple different ways. One thing is that...
you got to have to hold it until we get back from this break. Folks, this is The Food Chain. Michael Olson here. We're having a little fun looking in what goes on beyond the restaurant door with restaurateurs. Michael Clark from Michael's on Main in Soquel, California. Chip Kirshner from Santa Cruz Diner in Santa Cruz, California. And restaurant inspector, semi-retired, Roger Houston. 38 years of looking into what goes on beyond the restaurant door. And you, the phone numbers, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Pick up your phone and join us because we only have a little time left. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back. Michael Olson here. This is The Food Chain. Phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. How do you come to trust a restaurant enough to patronize it frequently? I have a couple restaurateurs here that I trust, and I have come to know them over the years. I watch them. I see what they're doing. I taste their food. I get to know how they do their business, and I come to trust them, and so that I get the opportunity to go out and enjoy a meal out, and I don't have to worry. I trust that whoever's behind that kitchen door is going to take good care of me. And that's the question. How do you go about finding that trust and verifying it? And with us today, we also have Roger Houston. Roger has been inspecting restaurants for 38 years. And, of course, we have you as well. Phone number is today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Michael, before we go to the phones, I wanted to follow up with you. And we were talking about hiring green people. What is your notion on that?
Hiring green people, it's education, like we're talking. The most important thing is education. And the all the staff, be it management, the bartender, everybody serves safe, qualified. And there's a lot of emphasis on the kitchen. It's not only the kitchen. The management needs to have the same knowledge as the chef has, because if they see something go wrong, if somebody's not washing their hands or they're doing something wrong, so it's throughout the whole facility. And we do a lot of different things. We use day dots, which are used first, the date and the time when it was prepared. So it's a strong education. So the question you're asking me is hiring somebody green. I wouldn't hire somebody that didn't have food knowledge and how to handle the food. I would say I'd love to hire you, but we'll put you in as an apprentice at a lower level position and build you up to the position where at one point we'll let you go onto the front line or go into the pantry. But I feel very strongly that they need that education. And I would, again, make sure that they were served safe, take the test, and understand it. It's a great program, because after you do take the class, there's a lot of great things that are brought up during the class, and you come back with that extra knowledge.
So then you're kind of going along with Tina, who suggested that it's okay to hire green people. It's okay to hire them, but only if they start at the right place, right?
Oh, correct. I mean, it's when somebody, I don't care what field you're in, but to put a bartender in and say, okay, here, you know, start bartending, and they don't understand what they're doing, that's disaster. But if we train the bartender, and again, I'm saying the management, the bartender, and everything else, sanitation isn't only in the kitchen, it's throughout the facility.
Right.
And the health department doesn't just walk through the kitchen, they walk through the bar, they walk through the whole facility, and if they see something astrew, they're going to say, hey, look at this. I mean, I've seen for instance, in a weight station where a bus tub was, this needs to be painted. It's, you know, it's showing the wood that could, you know, bring bacteria in. You need to fix this. And they let me know, and I say, great, I'll get it taken care of.
Mm-hmm. Put it on the list of things to do. Roger, we were talking about the most common mistake that you see in restaurants.
And that would be lack of hand washing or facilities that are not in proper repair. For example, a towel dispenser that doesn't have towels in it, a soap dispenser that doesn't have soap, or the faucet may not be working properly. It may only have the hot side working, the cold side working, or it might not be working at all. And that's the first line of defense. The most critical thing in a food facility is proper hand washing.
And what is the first thing that you do when you go into a restaurant to inspect it?
I wash my hands. I go right to the hand wash station and wash my hands.
Mm-hmm. That really gives you a sense of what's going on in the restaurant then too.
Exactly.
Okay, good. Well, let's go to the phone, folks. Put on your headsets here. We're going to pick up the phones. The phone number is today 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. We're going to pick up Michael. Michael, welcome to the food chain. You've got a couple other Michaels and a Chip and a Roger.
Hi, Michael. This is Michael from San Jose, formerly from Aptos.
Well, welcome aboard.
My question is, I eat out an awful lot and I travel around a lot. And I find many restaurants seem to be very nice until I go into their bathrooms, and I can't believe the employees can serve food after being in there. And the other thing is, I wondered, what do you do periodically or occasionally, I guess would be a better way of saying it, I find that I feel I've been received a dose of food poisoning where I end up throwing up 3 or 4 hours after I've eaten something. And when that happens, what as a customer, what should you do? Should you call the restaurant, or should you just never go back?
Good questions. We're going to throw that one around the horn. Thank you for the call, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for taking my answer in the air.
Yep, because we're going to take a quick break. I guess we're going to have to. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Questions. What do you do when you feel sick after eating out? The other one was, what the heck was the other one?
Should he call a restaurant?
Oh, yes. All right. Should he call the restaurant? Right back. 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Back, and we have a little time, so we're going to have to move really quickly. A couple of questions raised by Mike. One was restrooms. Roger, dirty restrooms. Is that something you...
Dirty restrooms, well, if we observe that when we're making the inspection, it will be put on the report.
Ding, right there.
Right there. They get dinged on it. But if a customer sees it and is concerned about it, give the local health department a call. The district inspector will respond to that, go out and investigate, mm-hmm. and maybe put that manager back on a good schedule of cleaning. It sounds like it might be just negligence, just lack of care, possibly. Yeah.
Okay, good. Also, calling to complain. Michael, you had a good comment about that.
Well, I appreciate any comments, criticisms, or any, when a customer phones me back, when somebody phones me, I mean, I take this very serious. It's something that a restaurateur is you get this phone call, and it's emergency. The lights go off, and I talk to them. What did you eat? And go through the whole schedule of what happened.
Well, I had five martinis and three bottles of wine, and
yeah. And, there is bottle flu, but it's very serious. And then I try to contact other people that ate the same thing and ask them if they got sick. And mm-hmm. it's very difficult for us because we don't know if it was the food or if it was the virus or if they're coming.
If they had a
home,
hot dog someplace, and who knows?
You know, what did they eat before? And again, you have to be diligent because you don't want to lay blame on somebody else because they're phoning you to.
But when somebody calls you, lights go on, and I mean it's a major alarm. Would you agree with that, Chip?
Yes, I would. I would agree with Michael. It's probably the restaurateur's most panicking moment where you know, over 10 years now, I say we've probably served over 4 million customers. And yes, we've had some calls from people that have said, you know, I think I might have gotten something at your facility. And, you know, we have a checklist that we go through when that happens. We actually have a written page where if we're not there, the manager gets it out and has to ask a certain list of questions so that we can start to dial into what happened. And they have instructions to call us when we get those calls. And we always, you know, call back the customer that had the issue. We look at it. We try to determine, is this an isolated thing or were more people affected by it? I would have to say in 10 years, we have, you know, this is a very imprecise area, but we have yet to feel that we actually caused anybody to be sick. But you do get people that are subject to other influences or maybe coming down with something. Or, you know, the funny thing about us is being a 24-hour restaurant, we've noticed that when you know, maybe the once or twice a year we do get that call, it's almost always from somebody that dined late night. I would reinforce that this is, you know, aside from health inspections, this is the, you know, the thing you take the most seriously. So.
Okay, let's go quickly to Mike, who has a question. Mike, welcome to the food chain.
Thank you very much. Just want to make one comment. I love the show, love the topic. I think in this political season, it's apropos to remember what Mark Twain, I think it was, said, either he or W.C. Fields, about there are two things you never want to see watching being made, and that's sausage and the law. We've all been into those kitchens, haven't we?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Gloria, you have 1 minute. Hurry.
Okay. How does the consumer look behind the kitchen door? Can I go to the food inspector's website and see information on restaurant inspections?
Roger?
Yes, you can. You can get the most current report from the most recent inspection online.
And you can do what I do. You can get to know the restaurateurs. And that way, you can look in their eye and see what's going on in the kitchen. Gloria, thank you for the call, and thank you all for tuning in to Food Chain. You stay tuned next week for more What's Eating What Radio. And remember, cheap food isn't.
Listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.